I think sometimes it's interesting to look at ideas that are very, very famous, ideas that many of us may have heard many times, and to try to put them in a particular context. Rav Dessler on Bechira, in particular his Nekudas HaBechira, is an idea which I think is relatively well known. We'll try to describe it a little bit. But I think sometimes what's intriguing is to point out sort of where it falls out amongst other Bali Machshava, how other people would have related to it, other people would have looked at it. You know, it's like a similar kind of a thing about, you know, Rav Huttner's broad life and double life. So presumably Rav Huttner was saying something that people hadn't said before. And presumably he was saying something that was somewhat original. So it's always helpful to sort of figure out, like, okay, so like, what did other people think about this? What did other people view before? Was it the same idea as everybody else, but with nice packaging? Or are they contributing and giving us particular insights which are unique and in many ways original? What I want to try to do is to give a little bit of background to the sugya of Bechira Chafshes. There's a lot that we could theoretically talk about. Years ago, we spoke about the approach of the Ishbitzer and Reb Tzadok, who had a very, very unique approach to the world of Bechira Chafshes. But I want to begin with the Rishon, I think, most associated with playing up the role of Bechira, and that is the Rambam. I want to speak about the Rambam's approach, speak a little bit about the Meshech Chachma, and then Be'ezra Hashem will be able to approach Rav Dessler, try to understand what exactly Rav Dessler does, what exactly he contributes, and describes in that. Let's begin like this. In the world of Rambam, in many places in Rambam's writings, in the world of Rambam, the world of Bechira, the idea that we have free choice, is incredibly, incredibly fundamental. The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, in Chelek Gimel, Yesod Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu, the foundation of Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, v'chol holchim achareha, and all those that embrace Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, he sheha'adam bal yecholes muchletas. The man has free choice and the man has free will. Klomar sheyesh betivo ubechiraso, that a person has as part of his nature, chetzu lasos komas shebiyara adam lasos, you have options. You have options. Salvechik pointed out, based on Rambam's Lashon, that at times it even sounds like Hechash Shuvah, that it isn't even just the options that you see in front of you. It isn't only options A and B, but man has the opportunity to create at times new opportunities, to create new approaches. That we have a very strong degree of Bechira. The Rambam in Hechash Shuvah and Perek Hei, the Rambam in the middle of Hechash Shuvah, had discussion about Bechira Chafshes. The Rambam writes there, V'davar zeh ikir gadolhu. This is an ikir gadol. Now, when the Rambam uses terms like that, he means that very precisely. This is a major idea. V'hu amud ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvah, sh'ne'emar re'ei nasati lefneichem hayom esachayim, uksiv re'ei nasati lefneichem hayom, klomar shavar shus biyadchem, v'chol sh'yakbots ha'adam la'asos v'maiseh b'nei adam, oseh b'in tovim b'in ra'im. You have options. You could choose good or you could choose bad. And this is a foundational idea for all of Torah mitzvos. Lichora, as many Bali Machshava point out, this is the basis of the idea of schar ve'onash. It doesn't make sense to have reward and punishment if not for the fact that we make choices and we are therefore held accountable for our choices. Schar and onash for someone that's not in control of their actions is an absurd concept. An infant child that's unaware of what's going on, that does certain things, you never reward or punish a child if they don't have the requisite das to understand and appreciate that is their doing, and if they aren't responsible for what they're doing. This becomes so important, so important. The Rambam not only embraces Bechira Chafshes as being foundational, but the Rambam understands that the range and the power of our Bechira impacts things which go way beyond what we would have assumed. We're not learning Rambam's Shita right now, but it goes against even the simple pshat of a Gemara in Meseches Nida. The Rambam writes, you know how much your Bechira is there? Rishus l'cho adam nesuna. People have the option. This is Hilchos Shuvah Perek Hei Halacha Aleph. Imrotze lahatot atmo derech tova ulios tzadik harishus biyado. V'imrotze lahatot atmo lederech hara. You get to choose if you're going to be a tzadik or a rasha. The Rambam then in Halacha Beis goes even further. Don't believe what the foolish members of the Umos HaOlam and parts of Bnei Yisrael understand that determine whether you're going to be tzadik. Rambam says, you have free choice, akadei kach. Ela kol adam roilo liyo tzadik kemosh Rabbeinu, o rasha ki yiravam. You could choose to be a tzadik on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. That is the level of Bechira that a person has. You could reach the level of tzikas of Moshe. That is in your realm of possibility. Now the Rambam goes further. You also get to choose your level of intelligence. O chacham, You could choose if you are considered to be bright or if you're not considered to be bright. You get to make those choices. Whether you are a Rachaman or an Achzari, whether you are compassionate or you are cruel, all of those things, V'chein, Shar, Kol HaDeyos, all of those Midos, you have the opportunity to determine and to decide. The simple pshat in the Gemara Nida is that you can't determine your intelligence. You are born with your intelligence. The Rambam here, in Shemona Prat, a couple places, the Rambam elaborates this idea. The Rambam is a big believer in Bechira Chav, just being foundational, being the ultimate that a man can have, is to make good choice with his Bechira, and your Bechira ultimately is going to determine, is going to determine everything. So we aren't just given Bechira, but the scope of Bechira is very wide, the foundational element of it is great, and we should embrace it as much as possible. Yeah, that is, if we knew more about him, I'm sure we'd have what to say about that. But we're going to take his word for it, that he's really bad. Correct, you would have assumed that there are other people that are also not so great. You find something fascinating when you begin to shift to Meshech Chachma. Again, we don't have time to speak about the Ramban, because the Ramban really is very important for this. Where the Meshech Chachma, on the one hand, also plays up Bechira. The Meshech Chachma in Parshas Bereishis, in defining what is Tzelem Elohim, we referenced this a couple of weeks ago, where Zev Dessler identifies Tzelem Elohim as man's capacity and ability to give, whereas Rambam and Mor Nevuchim determines that man's cognitive capacity. We spoke last time about the Rav and creativity. Meshech Chachma understands that you know what Tzelem Elohim really is, Hu HaBechira HaChavshes, Beli Teva Machriach, Rak mi ratzon v'seichel chafshi, that we have free choice. What it means, says the Meshech Chachma, what separates us from animals, what separates us and makes man unique, is that we have the ability, we are not forced into it at all, we can make choices. We have Bechira Chafshis. In that sense, it's foundational. However, there's a somewhat well-known Meshech Chachma in the beginning of, in the Hakdama to Sefer Shmos, where the Meshech Chachma adds a wrinkle into this. Of course there has to be Bechira Chavshis, says the Meshech Chachma there. Of course there does. Otherwise, he points out, Uvaloa Bechira haloloha yelahem schara kima Torah. Shal hechrach ain't schar. If you're forced into it, there's no schar. But the Meshech Chachma understands there is a madrega. There is a madrega where a particular individual can reach, where they move beyond levels of Bechira. Meshech Chachma argues that Moshe Rabbeinu, as well as Yoshua, but Moshe Rabbeinu was able to reach a madrega where he stopped giving, he stopped having a degree of Bechira over his actions. Meshech Chachma says, why do I say this? Because it says in Chumash, V'aminu b'Hashem v'Moshe Avdo. Our emuna in the authenticity of what Moshe gives us, we're commanded to believe in Torah's Moshe. We're commanded, already in Parash B'Shalach, that here we are, we're commanded, we believe in Moshe Rabbeinu. Ask Meshech Chachma, Ech tziva Hashem shia aminu la'olam b'Moshe. How can the Rosham tell us to always trust Moshe? He has Bechir Chafshes. Maybe he'll make bad choices. Maybe Moshe will decide to go off the derech. Maybe Moshe will decide to stop being as committed. Maybe he'll make choices. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyirashamayim. Yirashamayim means all of Ruchnias. He has choices. Moshe has choices. So how can we be expected to always follow Moshe Rabbeinu? Elamai says Meshech Chachma as follows. Tachlis hu ha-bechira. The ultimate goal on one level is Bechira. But, and that's because below Bechira in Mailala Adam Yosme Kol Nimsayim. Reiterating the idea, this is what makes us greater than animals. But he says as follows. Rak, Shemoshe mitzar atmo, amal v'yageya. Moshe was yaga. Moshe worked so hard. Kol kach, atshehele atmo l'madrega hagavoa, shemivadrega se'enoshi. There's a higher madrega. We can't reach that madrega. There's a madrega that Moshe Rabbeinu reached, the highest madrega, that he was so good, l'chein zaka shivata mimenu habechira. Moshe worked on himself so much, he no longer had a bechira chafshis at all. Imkein ze ikr tachas habechira. The ultimate goal of bechira is to tap into it so much, l'zake chachomer achayashav bisaro gam l'ruchani. You become totally spiritual in nature. U'kli chazayo bechvod elokim, u'kosukasimu bisariach zelokim. That Moshe made him elevate himself so much that he lost bechira. In that sense, what you find is an idea which already shifts things a little bit. That maybe Bechira Chafshis is there and is present, foundational to man. But maybe, just maybe, Bechira Chafshis, so argues the Meshech Chachma, that Bechira Chafshes is something which, if you get to a really, really high Madrega, you could lose it. And then when you get to that Madrega, the absence of Bechira becomes indicative of a degree of excellence, of a degree of greatness. That you've worked on your Bechira, you've worked on yourself, Adikach, that Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no, sorry, parentheses, but Moshe Rabbeinu sins. What's going on there a little bit? So that we have to look into that sugya here a little bit. Moshe really has no Bechir anymore. We're summary the positive parts, but Moshe Rabbeinu's at that Madrega where he's sort of like locked in. So at minimum, there are stages where he's locked in, or there are areas of his avoda where he's perceived as having no Bechir at all. But here we already see an idea, elements of the Ramban, that maybe Bechir HaChafshes is the result of a lack of complete purity. And then maybe Bechira Chafshes isn't viewed as the ultimate Madrega, but maybe it's viewed on some level as a result of something less ideal. That's where the Ramban comes in a little bit as far as the Chet of Adam HaRishon. Prior to the Chet of Adam HaRishon, there wasn't Bechira the same way. We could sin because we did sin, but the nature of that, of the way that we had Bechira was very, very different. And in many ways, the extent to which we have Bechira to make choices, good and bad, is the result of the fact that Adam sinned. And in a certain sense, ideally, maybe it wouldn't be there the same way. But the mainstream approach is always the approach of Rambam, the approach of the Ramchal, that Bechira is the ultimate ideal. Bechira is something which is wonderful. Bechira is what's supposed to embrace. And that's what's really supposed to be there. Yeah.
Also the same thing like Parham, not even Bechira in the opposite.
So that's a result of the opposite. Meaning Bechira is a schus, and we'll take it away. That fits with the Rambam type idea. Like Bechira is there, but Bechira is the ultimate. There are certain people, I guess in certain situations, we'll lose it, but not the higher people. The lower people may lose the right to Bechira. The higher are certainly going to have it. Rav Dessler's Mahal to Mekusa Bechira now has to be viewed in that context a little bit, and we're going to learn some interesting things about Rav Dessler and Bechira. Rav Dessler has a Kuntras HaBechira. It's in the first Chelek Mitzvah. He has, again, a second Chelek about it. This, they put out in the bottom, the editors point out, this was Kuntras Zehu Pri Avodas Kamashanim. This was years of work that he put into it. Ba'ayot HaBechira Tafsu Me'olam Makom Merkazi B'Mechshaves Advar Zatzal. This is one of the major sugyas in Rav Dessler's thought. This is a major, major sugya in the thought of Rav Dessler. The world of Bechira and how exactly it works. In the time of the Milchama, the Second World War. So at that point in time, Rav Dessler tried to put this all together like he did with Kuntras HaChesed. So this is part of what this is written largely in England. That's what he was at that particular time. Let's try to unpackage things a little bit. Rav Dessler, the Iker Chiddush of Rav Dessler, is a particular formulation that he has. And we're going to see it. We're going to see where it comes from. Rav Chaim Friedlander, his great Talmud, in the second Chelek of Emunah U'Bechira, has a long discussion talking about elements of Rav Dessler here. And we'll work off of his discussion a little bit and some ha'aras that he makes. But let's begin like this. The mashal that Rav Dessler gives to describe Bechira is the mashal of a battlefield. The way I often heard it told over, years ago, was the mashal of a football field. You can take the mashal with whatever you want and whatever you find to be more relatable and meaningful for you. He says the way that a battlefield works, and this we know, is you're fighting in one particular location. In the football mashal, you're on the 50-yard line. When the football is on the 50-yard line, we're not fighting about the previous 50 yards or the next 50 yards. The primary area of action takes place at the 50-yard line. In the moment of battle, the primary action doesn't take place back here, doesn't take place all the way over there. There's the front lines. That's where all the action really takes place. Rav Dessler's Chiddush is that Kein Hu Adam Gam B'Inyan HaBechira. That's how Bechira Chafshes works. Kol Adam Yeshlo Bechira. We have Bechira, says Rav Dessler, but that Bechira, Hainu B'Nekudas P'Gishas HaEmesh Shalo Ima Emes HaMeduma Tol Tashaker. It's at that front line. At that front line is where you have Bechira. Avol Rov Maisav Heim B'Makom She'ein HaEmes V'Hashaker Nifgasim Sham Klal. Most of the things that we do in this world are not products really of free choice the same way. They are things that I'm so used to doing. I'm mechunach la'asoso v'lo yale al daito klal la'asos ha'hefech. I wouldn't even have a hava. I mean, I'm so used to doing it. So my shirt right now is not inside out. It's regular. This morning when I was putting on my shirt, I didn't have to make a decision like, how do I want to wear my shirt today? So the sleeves go around my feet. Should I put it inside out? I don't think any of us made that choice this morning, at least the vast majority of us, that when you're going there, like, it's what you do. Walking out wearing shoes, that is not at the place of my Nekusa Bechira, for Tehila Teretzky. Tehila, my daughter, Teretzky. For Tehila. So then that place is her Nekudas, you know, HaBechira. Shoes or no shoes today? What should I do? For me, it's not a question. It's not a question at all. It's something which is very much there. The place of Bechira is what Destler calls the Nekudas HaBechira. There's the place, and it's in that place where you're deciding. There are certain things that are way beyond. I don't know how many of us last night were debating the recitation of Tikkun Chatzos. I don't know how many of us were. Why? Tikkun Chatzos, it's in Shulchan Aruch, so anything about doing it? That is not something, I'm not talking about whether you say Tikkun Chatzos or not, personally, don't say it, but that world of Tikkun Chatzos is not at our, that's at the 20-yard line, I'm holding at the 50-yard line. That's way beyond what I didn't think about it last night. I didn't make a choice last night not to say Tikkun Chatzos. I'm not saying Tikkun Chatzos, it's not a choice at all. There's an akuda where those choices exist. Now, Reb Chaim Friedlander has an important ha'ara here, which I think is really, really chashuv for being able to, in a more, I think, precise way, define it. He says, I don't like calling this idea Nekudas HaBechira. Nekudas HaBechira. I don't think that it's exactly what Reb Dessler had in mind. Rather, says Reb Chaim Friedlander, it's what I would call the Shetach HaBechira, the area of Bechira. Why? Because Nekudas HaBechira makes it too analogous to really, let's say, a football field, where the football's on 1 yard line. It's right in this particular place. And that is the place where you are battling things. For most people, I think this Hosafa is really important to have the idea make more sense. For most people, it's not one particular location. There's an area of battlefield where things take place. I'm debating about a bunch of things, all in a continuum. Maybe we're fighting over the 45 to 55 yard line about a bunch of different things. It's not like I've conquered everything in this one small piece. There are lots of decisions that we make that are all included in that Shetach HaBechira, in that area of Bechira. What is, says Rav Dessler, we'll have to unpackage this a little bit, there are people that are born on the 40-yard line, there are people that are born on the 30-yard line. Depending on where you are brought up, depending on what the habits are that you have, that impacts where you are. Anything I've already accomplished, there's no real Bechira there anymore. Anything which is further, less so. This idea we find precedent for in a couple of different places. Meaning, how much is this idea an original Rav Dessler idea? The answer is, I think he packaged it really well, was Mosif and put together. But there are elements of Rav Dessler's Mahalach here, which you already have lichora implicit in Ma'amari Chazal, and which we'll see is a dominant idea, in particular by many of the Bali Musar, and that's as follows. One, there is a Gemara that we know in the Gemara Masechet Kiddushin, Ben Yonah and Shari Tshuva quotes it. This, many point out, Chaim Friedlander and others point out, is very, very much relevant to this Torah of Rav Dessler. The Gemara tells us that when a person sins a bunch of times, eventually their maisa becomes nas eslo keheter. The first time I'm struggling over something, the Gemara tells us the first time you do it, but when I'm shona b'cheto, when I do it a bunch of different times, eventually nas eslo keheter. What is the omek hapshat of that Gemara? That the more that you sin, the same sin a bunch of times, it's nas eslo keheter. What that means is that thing becomes no longer at your battlefield. That thing becomes something which is, it's so standard for me not to do it anymore, I'm no longer making choices about it. It's nas eslo keheter. For that reason, Rabbeinu Yonah writes, ki hashona b'cheto, shari tshuva aleph hey, if you do the same sin multiple times, kasha ki nas eslo achet keheter. That's why tshuva becomes so much harder for something which is no longer even at my nekudas habechira. Meaning something which I'm so used to neglecting that I'm not even in the fight for this anymore. A guy's like, he's not conscious at all about, you know, he has the habit, let's say this phenomenon happens. I have the habit when I walk into shiurim, I always tune out. I walk into shiurim, I don't focus the same way. I bring my computer, if I get wireless, gewaldig, if not, I'll do something else. But I'm just used to doing that. The first couple times a person does it, the first couple times a person makes that mistake, so during those first experiences, there's a struggle. Do I do it or do I not do it? Am I going to or am I not going to do it? Once a person's done it 3, 4, or 5 times, it no longer becomes even a choice. He just not consciously choosing. He just sits down in the room, and that's exactly what he ends up doing. That's why it's really important to have good habits. And that's why it's important sometimes, like in the beginning of a zman or in the beginning of a year, the beginning of whatever, to establish certain standards. Because if you establish worse standards, it's very hard. It's very hard to rectify. This they point out also is Yisod that Rabbi Saul Salanter points out is Pshat. This is in the Orsay for Yisrael, points out in a Gemara Mesechta Sukkah. It's Pshat in a Gemara in Sukkah. It's a very odd Gemara, but this explains it. La'asid love the Gemara tells in Sukkah Mivia Kosh Baruch Hu Yitzhara. Kosh Baruch Hu is going to shecht the Yitzhara. V'shochto b'fnei haTzadikim u'b'fnei haRishayim. God is going to shecht the Yitzhara in front of the Tzadikim and in front of the Rishayim. Tzadikim nidme lahem kehar. Tzadikim when the Yitzhara shecht, they're going to see it's like a mountain. It's so big. Tzadikim are going to start crying and say, how could we have ever conquered this massive mountain? Rishayim are going to see the Yitzhara. Nidme lahem kechura sa'ara. It's going to be perceived as being this nothing. And the Rishayim are going to cry. They're going to say, how did we lose to this small Yitzhara? How did we lose to this small Yitzhara? What's the pshat? So says Rav Des, says that Rav Saul Salanter, it's really this Yisod. Again, it's a Yisod in Musar. It's this Yisod. The tzaddik, he didn't feel the struggle the same way. He's already, you know, in the red zone. He's already all the way there. So for him, he's not living a life always focused on the first 80 yards he already conquered. He's fighting, you know, right here in this particular place. And he has good momentum. He knows what to do. When they shecht the Yetzer Hara, what becomes clear is that he traveled 80 yards. It becomes clear what he did. Now, it didn't feel like a battle at the same time, because he brought himself to have such good habits that he wasn't constantly fighting that battle. He gets up every morning for davening. And he goes and he learns that thing which he already conquered. He already destroyed that Yetzer Hara. And now he moves on to the next Yetzer Hara, He's not constantly fighting all of those battles. But when he finally, Asad Levo, sees the Yetzer Hara be shechted, he says, whoa, the Yetzer Hara was trying to stop me from that and that and that. I conquered it. I emerged victorious. The Rasha didn't conquer the Yetzer Hara at all. The Yetzer Hara, the Rasha's all the way on the opposite end of the field. The Rasha's sitting there, and he wasn't doing that much. And he was losing on the first yard line. So then he realizes, whoa, the Yetzer Hara was good. The Yetzer Hara beat me on the first yard line, only because it also already conquered the first 99. Meaning it already made all that progress. There's so many things that I didn't even realize I wasn't doing, and I wasn't making choices of. Itzahara is so, it's playing over the entire field, but I only experience it in certain places. Sometimes I experience it more victorious, and sometimes less so. This relates to a Yisod of Dessler quotes from Rav Yerucham, the Mirror Mashgiach. It relates to the Rambam and Meshech Chachma type idea, and that's as follows. Rav Yerucham used to say, the best choice that you could make, and this is the Yisod which is very not Rambam-like, I think, in many ways. The Rambam emphasizes the value of Bechira, of tapping into your Bechira, good choices being ultimate. Yerucham emphasizes something a little bit different. Rav Yerucham says, the best Bechira you could make is a Shemati Me'echad HaMiyuchad, Migidolei HaMa'amikim. I heard from one of the more Miyuchad people of deep insight, Asher Yadati Bedori, that I know in this generation. I would love to know who he's quoting. I'm quoting someone, he says, who's really good. Chacham Bekadosh. Okay, cool. That Rav Yerucham from Mir said, Inyan HaBechira HaTova, Hu Sha'adam Yivchar LaSumes Atmo L'Mokra. The best choices that you could make are the choices that you make that make you have to do it. Meaning the highest Madrega are choices that you make where you remove elements of the free choice. I will give you a not such good mashal for this. I hope that is okay. But it's a relevant one, at least for me. I commit to giving shiurim on topics before I know anything about the particular topics. Let's give on a Taros Sugis Ipsachim on Thursday night. Okay. Let's give on Ribbis on Thursday night. Let's give it the thought of Reb Dessler. Let's do these things. I don't know a lot about it beforehand. But once you make the choice, there's an enormous amount of pressure. And in many ways, late last night when I'm preparing, or early this morning, when I'm preparing this shiur for Rav Dessler, it doesn't have the same, like, why not like this? If you really want to learn or not learn, so like, it should be real Bechira Chafshis. And you didn't do it this morning out of real Bechira. You did it this morning because you're maybe going to be a little bit embarrassed if you walk in, you're like, sorry, no shiur today, I'm not ready to go. Maybe you're doing it for other sort of like side, there's pressure, there's structure, which is built in. For Yerucham, part of tapping into good Bechira Chafshis is making out of free will the kinds of choices that are going to be more Mechruch. The way that, in the more Rav Dessler way of saying it, that it's about moving down the football field, moving down the battlefield. And the goal is to have more things that are authentic Torah and Yiddishkeit, that you're no longer fighting over. To get those habits. That I'm no longer struggling over getting up in the morning. I'm no longer struggling about learning. I'm no longer struggling about Lashon Hara the same way. I'm not struggling about any of those things, Bichlal. That the goal is to get to that point. Here, though, in lies what is one of the more basic and fundamental questions on Odessa's Mahalach, which is like this. You ready? It's an amazing question. Let's say you grew up in according to Dessler, it sounds like, the Yisod seems to be that your Nekudas HaBechira, or we would say more precisely, your Shetach HaBechira, the area in which you fight, that Shetach HaBechira is that's where I make choices. And we know that choices is the prerequisite for schar. Choices is what gives you schar. So here is the very, very powerful question. That's shot in Lefum Tzara Agra, Chazal tell us. You get schar based on the tzara that's there. If I'm doing it out of force of habit, so I don't get schar for it the same way. I'm so used to that. Therefore, the following question emerges, and it is a very, very powerful question. Whether you're on the 5-yard line, the 30-yard line, the 50-yard line, the other 30-yard line, or at the goal line, either way, lichora, you don't get schar for the things that you're doing out of a force of habit. Because for that, I'm not choosing. I only get schar for the things that I choose. So if I only get schar for the things that I choose, and this morning I got up to daven, and it wasn't that much of a struggle for me, because I've already passed that avoda of getting up to daven, I didn't have to struggle this morning. Am I going to put on tefillin or not? I already do it. So lichora, therefore, I don't get schar for putting on tefillin because it wasn't really a function of bechira for Rav Dessler. It wasn't really a schar. It wasn't at all. And if I'm a Russia, and then I didn't think about this past, I think this was the Gruz example. I didn't think about, you know, last week making an Erev Tavshilin. The Russia wasn't thinking about that. He doesn't keep Shabbos. He wasn't like Erev Tavshilin. So the Chora, he shouldn't get punished for not keeping the Erev Tavshilin. It's not in his Shetach HaBechira. And let's strengthen the question a little bit. So you know who has the hardest time by far? People that are brought up in frum homes. Because if you're brought up in a frum home and your habits are, you know, in the red zone, you're at the 15-yard line brought up. So guess what? You get no schar for the first 85 yards. Because that's what you're brought up with. Ribono Sha'olam. How does schar work? What a terrible system. Adarabba, let's bring up our kids, not them keeping any of the easy mitzvos, and then we'll make their Shetach HaBechira like around the easy ones, and they'll get schar for that. How does schar ve'onesh work? Like, how does it play out? Meaning, if Bechira is necessary for Schar Ve'onesh, so Rav Dessler's Iker Chiddush is that he downplays the areas in which we have Bechira. So if I don't have Bechira but everything here, don't have Bechira but everything there, so how am I getting Schar Ve'onesh? Like, what's going on? So here is where the Torah becomes very, very important. And this is what Chaim Friedlander has a beautiful discussion about to explain Rav Dessler's Mahalach, and that's like this. Number one. Right now, I'm at the 20-yard line. I'm about to approach the end zone. The schar I get, any area that I tackled, I continue to get schar for, as if I had bechira, because that area I tackled. That, he says, is the result of the pshat, and that Gemara in Sukkah, the Yitzhahara is so big, it's ki'ilu I tackled the massive Yitzhahara. Any progress that you made in your life religiously is yours. And anything that happens, Masha Adam Zocha Lichvot B'Ma'avaka Bechira, any ground that you cover, you don't lose your schar at all. El Mekabel Schar B'Chol Pam Ke'oso Schar Shehaya Mekabel B'Tchilas Derech Aliyah. If I have the habit now that I daven, I put on tefillin every single day, and I used to struggle with that, then when I put on tefillin this morning, even though it wasn't hard for me, of course I put on tefillin for me this morning, I get the schar as if I was still fighting over it. That's pshat, he says, Rishon Slanter, in that Gemara in Meseches Sukkah. Yitzhara is viewed as being so big because Rabbeinu Sholem relates to it as if you tackle the Yud Yitzhara. All the schar that's there. Okay. The same thing is true in the inverse, in a very scary way, for the Russia. Any ground that you ceded in that debate, in that fight, it's ki'ilu you're constantly losing that battle. It's ki'ilu you're constantly losing that battle. If I've ceded that battle, it's going to look like chud ha'sa'ara because he didn't beat any of the Yitzhara. He lost the whole battle. It's going to be very, very severe. Okay? But now we go one step further. Says a high freelander one step further. Okay, I got this. Let's say I'm brought up from. Let's say you're a person that always wore tefillin every single day of your life. You always put on tzitzis. You're what we would call a group one person religiously. You're a person that is, you're tapped into these things. You always, every like group, every class, you know, often like has that person. Like, they got it. They're not petty. They don't speak Lashon Hara the same way. They're better than us. They're good. They get up and they daven and they get up and they learn. There are people for whom they're just, that's who they are, what they're brought up with. They're brought up with great habits. There was really wonderful chinuch combined with their disposition and environment. Great choice. It's just, they're there. So they don't really get that much schar. They don't really get that much schar because they just start at the 30-yard line. They never tackled the first. I get it. If I tackle the first 70 yards, I continue to get schar for it because I beat that original thing, so I get the schar. It pays dividends, those initial avodas. But what happens, right? This room, let's say you grew up from and you're very, very good and you're brought up in a from home and Shabbos is always a Deborah Pashut. You never thought about violating Shabbos. So you get no schar for keeping Shabbos because I was never near your Nekudosh Adam Bechira. You had no schar for keeping Shabbos. Like, how does that work? So here we find an amazing teretz. And this comes from the Altar of Kelm. Or it's based on the Altar of Kelm. Again, it's very musari. It's Rav Salanter, it's Rav Yeruchim. The author of Kelm, it's the following idea. I'll read it from Chai Friedlander, because it's a very beautiful formulation. Hatshuva. The answer to this question is as follows, and this is a massively important idea. Im adam lo yistapik b'mashachonech v'hergol b'kiyam torah mitos min urav. If you add nothing to your avoda, every single thing I do is not a struggle, it's all very easy, I'm not in the fight at all, and I have improved nothing, so then ein hachinami, maybe you won't get schar for it because you never worked or never invested. But if the things that you were already doing, you are yachnis bitvarim hakara atzmis shelo, you develop for yourself a deeper appreciation of it. Ava v'yira, machshava v'regesh, v'gam shemitoch osu nekudos Hashem, shehurgal baminurav, yamshech lehosu v'al v'rus Hashem, b'shar ha'gitar mitvos, two yesodos points out, Chai Friedlander, they are both massively important because, he would point out, the fear of Dessler, our schar v'onesh, and all the things we were brought up doing, are riding on these 2 points. What are they? Number one, the things that we're doing, I try to infuse some of my own flavor into them. I always kept Shabbos. But I've worked at keeping Shabbos. So the Shabbos that I keep is a Shabbos with a little bit more meaning. So the Shabbos which I keep is a Shabbos with a little bit more of a hargasha, with a little bit more of an excitement. It's the same Shabbos, but it's a Shabbos which I've made mine in many ways. The Shabbos that I've been mosif something. Then I'm making a statement that the reason why I'm in for Shabbos isn't only because of the result of what I was brought up with. I really buy into this stuff. And then I'll get the schar for all of my Shabbos. Because my Shabbos is a different Shabbos as a result of what I've done. If your Shabbos at age 20, at age 25, is the exact same Shabbos it was at age 8 and at age 10, in Hachnami, no schar. But if the way that you develop it is that your Shabbos has, it has a bit more meaning. you have more of an appreciation of it. You keep this in a little bit of an extra way. That's one track of getting that schar. That's one track of getting that schar. But there's another way you can get that schar. The other way you get that schar is if it propels you forward. If it propels you forward. Keeping Shabbos is, for a person who never kept Shabbos, is very challenging. So to begin to keep Shabbos, they can't think about things further than the football line because they're working on Shabbos right now. If the fact that you grew up as Shabbos observant is something which you use as a basis to propel you going forward, not that I stayed Shabbos as a kid, I'm the exact same way I was growing up, but I have a good solid base in the way I was brought up. I was brought up in a wonderful family. I was brought up with a firm commitment to Torah mitzvot. But you know what I did? I took a couple steps forward. I decided I have all those things and they're great. But all those things I have, I want even more. At the moment that you make a proactive choice, that you say, I'm so happy I have that foundation, but now I want a deeper connection to Torah. Now I want a deeper relationship to mitzvot. Now I want something somewhat more meaningful. So at that particular moment, when you make the choice, so says Urchai Friedlander, it's at that moment, then you get schar for everything, because what you've done is, you've used that to propel you forward, you have used that and infused it, you've made it relevant to where you are right now. You've made it relevant to where you are right now, and that's part of the gift of schar. It's a gift of schar that we have, that when a person takes it and takes advantage of it, that's what makes them great. Points out from the altar of Kelm, that's a pshat when the Gemara Yevamah speaks about the maila of a tzaddik ben tzaddik. What's the maila of a tzaddik ben tzaddik? L'chorot ben tzaddik should be worse. He was born a tzaddik, he's still a tzaddik. That's not called a tzaddik ben tzaddik. What makes a tzaddik ben tzaddik is where he is a tzaddik, the son of a tzaddik. He was brought up far down in the football line, but you know what he did? He infused meaning in everything that he was already doing. And he used it to go even further down and to propel him towards further growth. He is an independent tzaddik who is the son of a tzaddik. So you know why he's so great? Because he's really far down in the football field. He gets all the schar. He gets everything which is there. There's something uniquely powerful about that. That's the mile of the tzaddik. There is derech agav, the Gemara in Brachos and Lama Dalin. There's also the mile of b'makom shebali tshuva omdim. Because they've had a different schar to the fight that they've had. Both tracks can tap into massive schar. Massive schar. Because even though the primary location of my fight is in one place, that's my real bechira, the schar I get factors into the way you relate to and what you did with everything before and everything after. That's how it ends up. That's how it ends up working. According to Dessler then, in many ways, what we see is as follows. Bechira is fundamental. Bechira is fundamental. The irony is that, I don't know if it's ironic, but it's like, Rav Dessler's Kudras HaBechira is at its core a work that, as opposed to Rambam, who like, again, I'm not saying they argue, but Rambam's like Mahal was like expanding the Bechira. Bechira over everything. You choose if you're intelligent. You choose if you're going to be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. He's expanding the realm of Bechira. One of Rav Dessler's Iker contributions to the world of Bechira is to minimize Bechira. That what you have choice over, the Averas I'm used to, further down, Na'ases Lokaheter. The things I've already done, those are already good habits. And to identify well where that Bechira is. The reason why Rav Dessler is very, very important, is that Rav Dessler gives us a Pesach towards improvement. He gives us an opportunity to focus on things. The mistake that a person could make, let's talk about bad and good Avodas Hashem Lefi Rav Dessler. Bad Avodas Hashem Lefi Rav Dessler looks like one of two things. You either are too satisfied with the things you've already accomplished. There are people like that. I'm good. Look what I've done. This is what I do. I'm good. Too satisfied with what I've already done and aren't part of my Bechira. Or you become so depressed that you start thinking about what's on the 20-yard line all the way down. And you're like, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I'm not even doing X now. For Dessler, good Avodas Hashem focuses on where exactly are you supposed to be Oved. Find and identify that point. But here's the tricky thing. To really grow the fear of Dessler, it requires an element of real reflection. Real reflection. To stop and to say, what are the things that I pretty much do consistently? What are my really great habits? What are the things that right now seem a little bit beyond? And where are the nekudas that I'm actually fighting? When people wonder times, like, what should I be working on? I want to improve. What does growth-oriented mean? For Dessler, growth-oriented means not embracing the things you've already done. Not think too far ahead. It means let's find that particular place and let's do it dafka there. Let's do what we can in that particular location. I want to add a hosafa of Dessler. Just a couple minutes. This point, I think, is a really cautious point. I don't have to develop it right now, but I want to share with you a hesitation I have about the way Rav Dessler, works. I happen to not always love the way it's said over, because I believe for myself, for sure, and most of the people I talk to and understand, we are not at one place on the football field. Most people are not there. That most people with their Avodas Hashem, at least for me, I am fighting many, many different football games, and some I'm on the 20-yard line and some I'm all the way back. That you have a phenomenon sometimes of people that on the one hand, in certain areas, they're so successful. You can have a guy sometimes, this phenomenon can happen. It's like you have a guy sometimes, he's learning so many hours a day, and in Talmud Torah, he's like on the 5-yard line about to score a touchdown. It's so unbelievable. But that same guy sometimes can be a guy who forgets to bench regularly. He doesn't bench so often. Most of us would have thought, if it's all one football field, that benching's on like the 5-yard line and learning 12 hours a day is on the other 5-yard line. That's not always the way it works in the real world. It's not always the way it works. Most of us would have thought, I'll go back to my like computer shear example. I don't know why. Let's go back to the example for a second. Let's say there are guys who will, what's a harder thing to do? So I would have thought being in the base medrash at 11:45 at night is a higher, you know, that's further down than when you're sitting in a shir at 12 o'clock, like, you know, having your, in your gruza, to pay attention then. But for a lot of people, it doesn't work that way. And that sometimes the way that I would, I guess, the kinesh, I don't think he wasn't saying this, but the way for framing it for me is that it's okay if we're fighting different battles in different locations. And part of Cheshbon HaNefesh is figuring out in which realms, right? There are people who are so good in one realm and so weak in a different realm. They're all over the football field. There are guys who are unbelievable in Bnei Adam L'Chaveiro. Their sensitivity and inclusion and kindness and they're warm. They're all the way. They're so good in that. They've moved so far down. But as far as other things go, maybe they have a really hard time davening. And you have other people that are huge Bali Avoda and they're davening like crazy. And they're jerks. And they're all the way down there. The Nakuda isn't that there. That's why I love the reply for their addition of, it's like shetach habachir. It's not one place in the football field where you are. And it's not all of your avodas either. There's easier and harder, and you tackle all the easier things, and then you go to the harder things. We all have the things which are harder for us or easier for us. We all have the things which are more challenging. And some of us, oddly enough, can excel in certain areas that are more challenging and struggle in other areas that are somewhat more basic. And that's fine. Nekudas habachira is shetach habachira. It means that there are areas in different places where we are. And not to be too flustered with that. Oh my gosh, how could I learn this late? How could I daven this well? I'm so bad at area X. No. We have our nekudas. We're playing different games all at the same time. It's like, you know, the muscle of like the chess grandmaster. You're like, how many chess games can he play at one particular time? The answer is, in the Avodas Hashem, we're playing a whole lot. There are tkufas where I want to focus more on one board than a different board. But in general, we're very much spread out. But the goal for Dessler is always identifying what are the things I'm doing by rote and I'm in a good place with. How do I infuse those with more meaning? What are the things that I, you know, want to develop? And this is where you see it's part of the Mikasov of Dessler is the blending of Machshava and Musar. Machshava about Bechira with practical Musar. Either way, as Hashem, we should move our Nekusa Bechiras and Shana Bechira all over the place. It should be good and successful. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Have a great Shabbos.